Chapter 37.
Planet Sallust. Day 3 of the siege of Inusu Tor.
The Empire's infantry and airspeeders kept their distance from the facility as the Star Destroyer descended. The reason why became obvious when the first Emerald Turbo Laser blasts rained from the sky onto the mountainside, cratering the black slope and turning stone to cracked, sizzling glass. The few Twilight Company scouts and snipers who prowled about the peak's upper reaches rapidly withdrew to the innermost perimeter, or were disintegrated by the laser's atomizing spite. Namir felt a wave of heat billow across his face and tried to shield himself with one arm. Even through his breath mask's filter, the burning air smelled like sulfur and ozone. The emerald rain closed in on the troops, accompanied by the glowing spheres of guided proton bombs encircling the processing facility. How close could the enemy strike without destroying the compound, Namir wondered. How precise were a Star Destroyer's targeting systems?
They're in position!
Hober yelled into Namir's ear. He could barely hear the quartermaster over laser fire and shattering rock. Namir saw a squad of soldiers nearby begin to back away from the crest, glancing toward the facility entrance.
Hold the line!
Namir called. If he'd judged wrong, if the Star Destroyer's gunners could vaporize the troops without touching the facility, he would die with the rest of Twilight, and the battle would be over in an eye blink. But a moment later, the laser fire stopped. Namir raised his gaze to the gray sky and laughed, the scorched air burning his nostrils. The dark wedge of the Star Destroyer was beneath the cloud layer now, larger than Sallust's dim and distant sun, and close enough to display the lines of its metal underbelly. Red and green lightning flashed around it, but the weapon's fire wasn't targeting the ground anymore. Instead, the Star Destroyer was lashing at three new shadows descending through the clouds, one a sliver and two mere specks. A pylonless promise and its X-Wings had returned.
How long can they survive like that? Namir asked Hober.
Not sure. We've been able to signal back and forth, but we can't maintain a channel. My guess, not long.
That's all right, Namir said.
We don't have long down here either.
It wasn't the sort of thing a commander should say, but Hober laughed bitterly. The Imperial forces down the slope resumed their advance, alarmed, perhaps by the company's aerial reinforcements, and concerned with other tricks the rebels might have planned. As stormtroopers marched over still-steaming rock, Namir walked the line and called out orders, bringing Twilight's full firepower to bear against the foe. The Empire no longer held any part of its army in reserve, and as soon as troops died, others took their place. A constant barrage of particle boats flashed over Namir. He began to scurry about the Twilight positions on his hands and knees. Imperial mortar shells shrieked, some falling short of their targets and others ripping apart squads of Twilight soldiers. In return, red and orange streams of energy, explosive blasts, pulses of light, sparking missiles all poured down the mountainside from Twilight blasters and artillery. On Crucible, such weaponry would have conquered the world. Here it wasn't nearly enough. The first Imperial troops crested the peak. Whatever fortune or skill preserved them through Twilight's gauntlet failed to protect them long. Namir burned one through the chest, his first shot of the battle. But the inner line had begun to crack. Namir glanced toward Hober, who raised five fingers. 5 minutes. They needed to hold out another 5 minutes. Namir gestured the squads forward. Soldiers rose above the boulders they'd chosen for shelter or dashed a few meters down the slope. Some were cut down instants later, but the sudden offensive forced the Imperial infantry to halt its advance. Namir found himself shoulder to shoulder with Twitch, firing bursts from a rapidly heating rifle at stormtrooper teams suddenly caught in the open. He risked a glance skyward, saw the continued flicker of laser fire between the Star Destroyer and the Promise.
If they survive longer than we do,
he began. He took another shot and felt his rifle pulse. Be humiliating, I know. Twitch mumbled. The rest of her comment was lost. Namir only heard the word Navy and a string of profanity. The Twilight squads that had moved forward began to lose ground almost immediately. Namir allowed the company to abandon the meter it had seized. Any farther back and the squads would be on the slim shelf between the crest and the facility's walls, at which point retreat to the facility itself would be the only viable option. A deafening blast thrust Namir forward as a mortar shell exploded behind him. He fell against the stones, felt skin tear as his knees slammed onto the ground, and he buried his head and helmet in his arms. He felt fortunate not to have broken his skull. He doubted he could survive another head wound. Someone pulled him up by the shoulder. He didn't see who, but he saw Hober in his peripheral vision offering a nod. "Do it," Namir said. He heard yells and cheers and screams and finally a roar of triumph. Dragging himself forward to look down upon the slope, he saw the mountain start to burn. Namir had sent half a dozen dig teams into the mountain. They used the same vehicles they'd stolen days ago to infiltrate the processing facility, along with a handful they'd located in the facility itself. The engineers had warned him more than once that any tunnels they created would be unstable, prone to collapse if they drilled into the wrong type of rock, let alone if the mountain came under bombardment. "It'll work," Vivra had promised him before he'd left for Pinyumba. "It's not really that difficult. It's what half the tools here are built for." "You don't want to do it," Namir had said. Vifra had shrugged. "We built a defense against any Imperial dig team trying to come in like we did. Channel the magma, incinerate the foe. You told us to get ambitious. Now we're getting ambitious. I can make the mountain spill its guts all over the place. But I don't think half the dig teams will survive. I think you're asking them to die, and they'll die pretty horribly. They'll be buried alive, or caught in the flow."
"Will they do it?" Namir had asked. Vifra had nodded. The decision was made.
On the mountain, Namir watched lava seep from the mouths of freshly dug tunnels and trickle into the open. Most of the lava streams emerged below the level of the Imperial army, but that was to be expected. Fire rose where the streams touched scrub grass or corpses. Transport vehicles stationed behind the bulk of the enemy force rapidly turned aside. Soldiers higher on the slope shouted panicked warnings, fled the heat into the blazing weapons of Twilight Company. The lava would encircle the upper reaches of the peak almost entirely. The Imperials would be left with nowhere to fall back to. They would be demoralized, terrified, and they would strike at Twilight Company with renewed fury because of it. It might ultimately prove to be in the Empire's favor. But trapping the enemy army in with Twilight wasn't the lava's only purpose. Additional streams would spring out closer to the mountain's base, and Twilight Company's dig teams weren't the only dig teams operating. Nian Nunba's rebel cell hadn't had much in the way of weaponry or manpower, but it had possessed mining vehicles. Submerging half a dozen Imperial guard stations in lava seemed like a fine way to start a revolution. Namir hoped the rebel cell truly could rally the people of Pinyumba. He wondered if he'd survive to learn whether that part of the plan worked. Twilight celebration ended as the Imperials redoubled their attack. Stormtroopers vaulted over rocks at the crest, struck Twilight soldiers with the butts of their rifles before being shot down themselves. The press of bodies became too much for the company. Blaster rifles drew too much power, overheated too quickly to stop every enemy who reached the top of the slope. Namir signaled the retreat, and squads abandoned portable artillery and dying comrades to back toward the facility entrance and navigate the company's maze of barricades. It was as orderly as a swift retreat could be. The squads knew a withdrawal was part of the plan, knew who could afford to leave first and who could stay behind to provide cover. They did their duty
as white armored troops tossed grenades and Imperial flame units sprayed death in an effort to force Twilight to scatter. Namir separated from Hober somewhere in the retreat, caught his breath behind an overturned load lifter used to block the cavernous mouth of the facility's eastern entrance. He was toward the back of the maze, and he watched squads filter through and take up stations while others found perches on the rooftop. He was swapping out his rifle's power pack when a mighty hand clasped his soldier and a voice declared in a deep bellow,
"When nature itself turns against our foes, how can we lose?"
He turned to see Gadrin standing above him and grinning broadly. Roach stood behind the alien, one soldier inexplicably covered by a stormtrooper's pauldron. She was shifting her weight rapidly from one leg to the other, her smile far more slight. "Let's try not to find out, huh?" Namir asked, and gave Gadrin's side a solid smack. His eyes, however, were on Roach. Part of him wanted to offer her a chance to run, to hide deep in the facility until the battle was over. But that wasn't what she needed, and he suspected it wasn't what she wanted. "You'll do good, both of you," he said.
"Any word from Binyamba?"
"No," Namir said, "but we weren't expecting any. We've given them all the support we can. We've melted their jailers and we've trapped the local army up here. If they can't pull off a rebellion now, they've only got themselves to blame." Gadrin nodded. Roach took one of his arms and tugged gently.
"We going?"
he asked.
"We'll see you after,"
Gadrin said to Namir.
"Stay safe, my friend."
"You too," Namir said. Roach led Gadrin away into the ranks. Namir watched the two go and worked to steady his suddenly ragged breathing and his trembling hands. Then, as the pair nearly disappeared from sight, Roach glanced back at him. He made himself smile tightly, offer a nod of encouragement. She winked back, and Namir began to laugh. The squads on the facility roof were tasked with occupying the enemy's portable artillery and heavy weapons teams. So long as those units couldn't engage, the Imperial infantry would be forced to funnel through the mazes into the facility entrances and Twilight's kill zones. Even the total destruction of the facility was no longer an option. Not unless the Empire was prepared to sacrifice its trapped army along with the facility itself. It was mostly stormtroopers who'd survived the climb up the mountain, and it was stormtroopers who began fighting their way inside. Twilight's makeshift barricades didn't last long against the barrage of blaster fire and grenades, but even rubble slowed the enemy down. As Twilight squads lost their cover, they fell back to the rear and let the next row of teams become the defense's vanguard. Namir fired into the storm of blaster bolts until his rifle was drained of all power, switched to his sidearm, and kept shooting until someone tossed him a battery pack. He was lying on the metal-plated walkway leading to the mouth of the facility. He rose to his knees only as long as it took to sight a foe and pull the trigger. It was the sort of battle he'd been fighting since he was a child. It felt as natural as breathing. Although squads withdrew and soldiers fell, although the stormtroopers kept coming, Twilight did not relinquish the entrance. For every company member who died, a dozen Imperials died in turn. Attrition was taking its toll on the once massive horde that had climbed the mountain. The Twilight squad seemed to instinctively understand their success. Shouts of encouragement and triumph rose up as together, the soldiers realized they might actually win. As Namir withdrew from the burning wreck of the load lifter into the facility's main hallway, he cast one last look toward the sky and the distant battle between the Star Destroyer and a pilotless promise. The ground battle could be won. Namir was proud of that. The aerial battle could not, and Namir had no cards left to play. It was conceivable that the rebels' cell would take the city's defensive cannons. But even that scenario almost certainly wouldn't occur in time to save Twilight. The residents of Binyamba had more pressing concerns, and by the time they could turn weapons on the Star Destroyer, it would be much too late. As soon as the Promise was destroyed, the Star Destroyer would return its attention to the processing facility. It would see that the Imperial Army had failed. It would realize that sparing the facility was no longer possible under any circumstances. Unless a miracle transpired, it would obliterate the entire mountain peak. Yet Namir had done his best. He'd given the spirit of Twilight Company its due. He would die with a grin and a battle cry.